Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregational of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.
I want to start off the sermon by asking three questions. What can motivate us to be zealous for God? What can inspire us to be on fire for God? And what determining factor can give us the boost we need to live faithful to God? And I want us to consider the answer to be tonight the holiness of God. You see, God is holy, and as we just read in Leviticus 19, verses 1 and 2, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God is holy, and with God being holy, it requires us to be holy as well. And as we look at this and we look at the holiness of God, it should give us that boost we need to live faithful. It should give us that motivation to be zealous for God. It should inspire us to be on fire for God, because God is holy. And the expectation from God to us is that you shall be holy. We shall be holy. And this may sound easy on the surface, but we must come to understanding of what this means and what God requires of us. God is holy, and God reveals this to his people. In Leviticus, if you turn to chapter 11 and verse 44, Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44, over and over throughout the Old Testament, it is shown God reveals to his people who he is. In Leviticus 11, verse 44, it says, For I am the Lord your God, and you shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourself in any creeping things that creep on earth, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Over and over we see that God is holy, and he requires us to be holy. In fact, in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11, it says, Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? When we think about the holiness of God, it requires us to meditate on him and meditate on his awesomeness and praise him for what he has done, the wonderful works that he has performed with his hand. In Psalm 93, verse 5, it says, Your testimonies are fully confirmed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. And also in Hannah's prayer, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, in verse 2, it says, No one is like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. You see, Hannah understood, and she's praying to God and telling him that there is no one like you, no one that is holy like you. And if you would, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and what I want to do is establish God revealing himself to his people over and over again. And Isaiah 6 is also another reference to that. And we'll look at verse 1 through 5. In the year that King Uzzah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings, and two he covered his face, and two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And then it says in verse 5, "So I," being Isaiah here, "he said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, because and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" You see, he saw in this the vision, and we see what he saw was someone crying out over and over the holiness of God. And he then did some self-reflecting upon himself and realizing the holiness that is in the presence of God, that he needed some things changed about himself. How he said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone." He understood that he is not holy like God is. We see also in Revelation chapter 4 the living creatures. There's four of them, and they continually proclaim the holiness of God, saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, and who was and who is and who is to come." God's holiness has been revealed to man. And we think about God's holiness, we should meditate on that. Let that sink into our minds, because what ends up happening is God reveals it to us, his holiness. But one of the great things that he does is he doesn't overwhelm us with that. He doesn't overwhelm us to the fact that he gives us this free will to serve him. And he gives us the being holy. He does not interfere with our free will. You see, we still have a choice to make. We still have a deciding factor. Are we going to follow God? When we look at the holiness of God, and we can look at Scripture upon Scripture, and in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and we can see that it can be overwhelming, and it should overwhelm us to a point that we change our lives. And we live our lives for God. In fact, God's presence requires the surrounding area to be holy. And we can look at Moses in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. In fact, they were told to remove your sandals for the place in which you stand is holy ground. And then we see Joshua before the commander of the Lord's army. And the same thing was said. You're standing on holy ground. God's presence requires his surroundings to be holy. And if we are striving to be like Christ and follow after Christ, and we are striving to have that home in heaven, we need to be holy people. We need to strive for holiness. The thing is, though, that without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no way that we can be holy. As we looked at this morning in our Bible class, it's a process that we have to strive for each and every day to become as holy as possible, as best of our ability to strive to be holy. God expects that out of us. And God's presence requires his surroundings to be holy, and we want to be in his presence. Since God is holy, the application for us is that we shall be holy. And we can look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28 in verse 58. In fact, we could probably just read the whole book of Deuteronomy, but we won't do that tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 28. In verse 58, and it talks about this application that we should have as for the children of Israel at this time. And he said, Moses said, "If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God." And then there comes consequences with that. There will be great plagues, and destruction will come of those who did not obey the voice of the Lord their God. And we can look over Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, where it says, "The secret things belongs to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law of this law." As we look at this and we look at the things that God has revealed to us, He's revealed enough holiness that we can see and that we should strive to follow after Him, that we should strive to live our lives for Him. And if you would, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 13 to start off with. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13. It says, "You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him and shall take oaths in His name." And when we then look down at verse 17, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, His testimonies and His statutes, which He has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken." Now we see what God has done and what God has revealed over and over. The expectation is for the children of Israel at this time is for them to be holy. But we can use that example that is written for us, that we as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, that we follow diligently and keep the commandments of the Lord our God. That we should strive to the best of our ability to do that. And it's, as I mentioned, it's a process that we need to do to become holy. Holiness then requires some things of us. Holiness requires knowledge. And we need knowledge in order to know God. And we can see ignorance is not an excuse. We can look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, where the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen. And what ends up happening is that we're without excuse. We can look at this world and see that there is a God, and we should then seek after Him. There's not an excuse, well, we don't know God. That's what Paul was writing here. You're without excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse. We need to know God, and we should seek. Holiness requires that knowledge. And we need to know God in order to know God. And then we also need knowledge to understand the expectation that He has for each and every one of us. Once we come to the knowledge of God, we can then begin to understand what the expectations are for those who choose to follow after Him. And if you still in Deuteronomy, we're going to look at chapter 7, verses 6 and 8, 6 through 8. It says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all the people. But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage and from the hand of Pharaoh the king." As we look at this, we can see that God has this expectation for us to understand what He wants. And He wants us to be a holy people. And He wanted them at that time, and He wants us at this time to be that holy people in understanding what God has done for us, what He has done for the children of Israel. And in John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 23 through 24, Jesus said, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. As we look and examine these things, we need to have this understanding, this knowledge of what God expects from us to do. Jesus emphasizes three main points in his final dispensation to the disciples in John chapter 14 or 13 through 16. Over and over again, he emphasizes three main points, and they're interwoven through just about all those chapters. To keep his commands, to keep the commandments that Jesus gave them, to abide in him, in Christ, and to love each other. Those three points are overwhelmingly in those three chapters that you have to just examine them and realize that what God is, what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us in Scripture, well, we need to keep the commandments of God. We need to abide in Jesus Christ, and we need to love God and love others. You see, holiness requires knowledge. Knowledge of what he has done for us and knowledge of what God expects from us. Then the next thing holiness requires is remembrance. You know, we can learn about the holiness of God, but we need to remember it. We need to remember it. We see, we don't want to forget it and don't ever want to leave God. We need to remember it. For the children of Israel, as we looked at already, there's other verses in chapter 6 and verse 20, and it's, we need to remember it so that we can pass it down to our children. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 20, it says, when your son asks in a time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. And then he brought us out from there, and he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded to us to observe all the statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our God always, always, that he might preserve us alive as it is in that day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he's commanded us. You see, the children of Israel needed to have a remembrance of what God has done for them. And over again, it's mentioned what God has done in Egypt. It's mentioned throughout the prophets, throughout the minor prophets, the major prophets. Each one of them is reminding them to remember what God has done. He brought them out of bondage, and he brought them out with great might and great power. And never forget that. And pass that on to the next generation, to your children, so they can pass it on to their children. So that they all remember what God has done, which will then help them to live their life for God. And then we as Christians need to remember what God has done for us. If you would, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19 through 23, we'll look at. There needs to be a remembrance of what God has done for each and every one of us. In Colossians 1 and verse 19 says, for it pleased the Father that I in him, that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether the things on the earth or things in the heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has reconciled in the body of his flesh through the death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Paul was reminding them there what God has done for them, what he has done and how he has done it, and where they were. They were lost without God, and they were lost without Jesus Christ. And that remembrance would help them to never forget that what Jesus has done for them. And as you think of it for us today, and it was set a point that we should partake of the Lord's Supper each first day of the week, and we know that that it is something that is required of us to do so that we remember Jesus and what he has done for each and every one of us, so that we don't ever, ever forget that sacrifice that was made for our sins. But if we don't remember what God has done, then in due time we'll then forget. And therefore we'll get off track in our lives. And worse yet, we will be lost eternally. You see, their needs, holiness requires us to remember what God has done for us. Holiness of God also requires obedience. If God is holy and to his people, we must be obedient to him to be holy. We must come out of darkness into light. John chapter 3. If you look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. As we examine this, we must understand that what happens if we remain in darkness and we don't go to the light, which is Jesus Christ. And what happens is that we hide our deeds, hide our light. And what ends up, we then don't come to the truth. We don't come to Jesus, and eventually we will then be lost. And we see that that is not what we want to do. We want to strive to come to that truth, come to the light, which is in Jesus Christ. Be obedient to the gospel and be faithful until our death comes. In John chapter 3 and verse 35, it says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Holiness requires our obedience. As we look also, we can look at 1 Peter as we did this morning, and we can just summarize that in a few verses. As we look at 1 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, but he who has called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Whenever we think of being obedient, it requires us to look and examine all of our conduct, our whole life, and examine whether we are being holy or not. And that requires some effort on our part to make that change, to make that change from where we were to strive to be holy, because God is holy. And then we could look at also Philippians chapter, or 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. We see Peter writes and says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. who once were not a people, but now are a people, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul. Have in your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. We see that the holiness requires obedience to God's word, and it requires us to conduct ourselves and abstain from fleshly desires, conduct ourselves in a manner that is pleasing to God, and submit ourselves to God. Holiness also requires our love, requires love, and we see first and foremost the love that God had for each and every one of us by sending his son on this earth. And we'll look at 1 John chapter 3. John says, "Behold, what manner of love of the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him." We see what manner of love that the Father gave to us. What manner of love that he has given us that we can be called his children. And when we look at this and think about this, that we can be a child of God because God loves us. And so we see that love that God has for each and every one of us. It should help us and we, as we strive to live our life. Look at verse 16 in 1 John 3. It says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, that we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in needs and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" You see, we see this, God loves us, and then we should then share that love with others. We share that love with others in our salvation, in evangelism, in teaching those that are lost. But also we can help those people that have needs and show love in that way. You see, God loves us, and with that love, we are to be obedient, and we are to abide in that love, and that we then are to love others. To conclude our sermon, let's look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. As we look at this, this kind of summarizes what we need to do and what the God has done for us. "The law of the Lord is perfect." This is Psalm 19, verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteousness altogether, more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them is great reward." You see, we need to take some time to meditate on the holiness of God. And as we look at that holiness of God and how our God is holy, and his holiness requires us to be holy. As I mentioned, there's a process of being holy. It requires us to have knowledge of God, and that means that we need to take time and study God's word and study it, and so we have this knowledge of what God has done for us and what he expects of us, and then to have remembrance of that we never forget what God has done, and we must be obedient to God, and we must have love God and love others. As we examine this tonight, as I challenge you with asking those questions, what can motivate us to be zealous for God? It is God's holiness. What can inspire us to be on fire for Him? What can be the determining factor to boost what we need to live faithful to God? It is the holiness of God, and when we examine that, we should strive our best with all of our ability to be holy as He is holy. Tonight, as we conclude, we offer the invitation to you to get your life right with God. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't been living a holy, acceptable life to God. Maybe you're struggling with sin. Repent of those sins and get your life right with God. Or maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've not become a Christian. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess that, repent of your sins, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If we can help you get your life right with God tonight, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.